Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
There was a big, huge storm that was coming, right? It was supposed to be twice the size of the biggest hurricane that had ever come through that area, which was 1992 Andrew. This storm was bigger side to side than the state of Florida altogether. We were watching it rip up other countries and other islands, and it was headed our way. And I was just like, dog, we were getting prepared, right? We were getting everything ready. And people are boarding stuff up and closing stuff up, and putting towels all around the windows, duct taping doors closed, getting ready for the storm because we knew it was coming. Everybody say, we knew it was coming.
We knew it was coming.
But as I went outside 72 hours to Irma, and also 48 hours to Irma, 36 hours to Irma, even 24 hours until Irma was due to arrive. When you went outside, the air was clear. It was breezy. It felt great. It was beautiful. I'm like, I want to go to the beach. I'm all, I got sunshine on a cloudy day. Except for there were no clouds. It was wonderful. And it made me wonder, what would have happened if this would have been 1902? There's no meteorologist. You don't know anything's coming. You're tending to the livestock or growing your crops. I mean, whatever you did in 1902, building the railroad. I don't know. But you don't know a storm's coming. And then I decided, you know, if you guys ever get rid of me, I want to be a meteorologist. It's the only job where you can be wrong most of the time and everybody still loves you. Like, I want to do that. And then I decided my forecast would be this. Well, expect some sunshine, but always a chance of showers. Bring an umbrella. Then I'm right. Unless you're in St. Louis, and then you can have a snow shower, a storm shower, or tornado, and 90-degree heat within 24 hours. So I wondered what would have happened with an unexpected storm of that size. Matter of fact, talking to somebody in our congregation, they had family in Cuba, so they called their family and they said, do you guys have your water? Are you have your rations? Are you boarded up? And they said, for what? 48 hours to Irma. It hadn't been on the news there. They hadn't told the people. They didn't know the storm was coming. And it made me think about our lives and the situations that we've walked into. Maybe our storm's name wasn't Irma. Maybe our storm was, hey, our spouse just completely flaked. Or that relationship just went south. Or the checkbook is so drained and we don't even know how it happened. Or the client just left with the top guy in our company who betrayed us and walked out. Maybe it was that the bankruptcy wasn't in the plans. Maybe it's that the addiction we didn't know was going to get the hooks in so tight. Maybe it's that we expected a different diagnosis from the doctor. How many of us have had a storm in our life that came along and it was unexpected? Reminds me of when we got back to Florida. By the way, y'all helped get together over 188,000 bottles of water. Baby wipes, baby diapers, baby formula, blankets. You guys sent some. Give yourselves a better hand. Y'all are awesome. So excited about what you did. And we headed to Florida and power was out. So we're looking at all the power out and you have to get new stuff in your refrigerator, get new stuff in your freezer. We go to the grocery store. They don't have any food. We're trying to find a venue to have church because we don't have a building to have church in because it has no power. We don't know where we're going to go. We're trying to figure it all out. So we're walking in the grocery store. I'm walking next to Austin and the door's open and I walk in and Austin walks into the glass door. It was very unexpected. I laughed my tail off. But, you know, while I'm giving him up, might as well give myself up. We were in the car and the windows were down because the weather was great again. Even though Jose was on the way and Maria's on the way, boom's looking great, right? And so David's driving the car and I guess the driver takes control of everything in the vehicle. And I guess he decided to roll my window up without my prior consent or knowledge. So as I was talking to them, it was great. And then I turned to go catch the view and I go, poof, right into the glass. And I feel just like my son. I looked at my son and I said, you your mama's son, not your daddy's son. That's a whole nother juju on that band. Never mind. People over 40 are going, Edna, what is she talking about? What does this mean? Is it a Christian thing? I don't know. Never mind. Where are we? Oh, unexpected. So if you have your Bibles today, say amen.
Amen.
So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 14. And in Matthew 14, we have this a historical account of Jesus and the disciples and a boat. You see, this one, the one had already happened where they were all in a boat together and the storm comes. It's hurricane proportions. Jesus goes to the helm of the ship and says, "Peace, be still." You guys know that story? So this is the second time. Everybody say the second time. You know what I get to thinking? Is that after we see God do something once, we kind of expect him to do that again. We see God heal somebody this way or restore marriage that way or move in somebody's life after they start tithing that way or after they start giving that way or heal a diagnosis that way. And we decide in our own minds that's the way God's going to do it in our life. So the disciples are out, and the unexpected happens. Everything looks great. Everything looks fine. The stars are out. They get out on the boat. They head out across the water, and a storm comes up. And the boat starts rocking, and they start trying to put the oars in to hold the boat upright. And I can imagine how they feel, because one time a friend of ours got a new boat. What I realized after we got onto this boat in the ocean is it's not a boat. It's actually a dinghy. And as we were going this way and the waves were coming in this way, this wave hits us, the boat comes up like this, and I thought legitimately this thing was going to flip on top of all 10 of us and we were going to die. That must have been how the disciples were feeling, like, "We're going to die! We're going to die! We're going to die!" And I can't imagine the tension and the stress that that must have brought, thinking over and over again, this one's probably it, we're going to go. And during the middle of all that, Jesus comes walking out on the water. I love the multifacets of Jesus. I think this one is gutsy Jesus, which would work well if you were watching the movie Talladega Nights. I like to think of my Jesus in a good little golden fleece diaper. I just pray, "Dear 5-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus, don't you know Jesus is an adult?" Yeah, but I like to pray to the baby Jesus. Leave me alone. I am not saying any of that is theological. It is just fun nonsense. But I like to think of, that was gutsy Jesus. There's compassionate Jesus who prays for the lepers. There's healing Jesus that heals us and forgives us of sins before we've ever committed them or got the sickness he died for them. There's the bold Jesus who kicked over the money changer tables in the temple. There's the brave Jesus who faced the cross and knew what was coming, and the cat of nine tails and legions of angel armies all surrounding him, available to move at his word. But he doesn't, because he takes all of that for us. If they saved him, he couldn't save us. Amen. And then there's this Jesus who walks on the water. I think he gives us just a glimpse of his greatness as he steps on the water and he says, "There's a hurricane and you have a boat and you're scared. There's a hurricane, I have no boat, and yet I calmly walk on the water." Just showing how awesome he is. You know, so many times when we have our hurricanes in our life, no matter the name of the hurricane, we want to know where Jesus is at. And what's he doing? Why are we in the boat by ourselves? You know, the Bible says he will never leave us. And he will never forsake us. We're in the process of going, "Jesus, where are you?" He's like, "You're looking for me at the helm of the ship. The problem is I'm working a miracle and I'm walking on the water." He wants to do a miracle in our lives, friend. So as he comes up, all of the disciples are freaking out. And I'd like to think if I was in the boat, I'd have been like, "Of course it's Jesus. He's the only guy we know who could walk on the water." But all of those 12 guys aren't thinking that. And if we were there, we probably wouldn't think that either. They were screaming like a bunch of little girls. Seriously, the Bible says they were crying out and shrieking in terror. Ah! Ah! I'm sure they don't want to see that part replayed in heaven. And they're wondering who Jesus is. And in Matthew 14, 27, Jesus walks up. And it says, "But instantly he spoke to them." And he didn't say, "Peace, be still," which are the words we want to hear. He says, "Take courage." Take what? I want to take a break. I want to take a break from the storm. I want the storm to stop. He says, "Take courage. I am." You are what, Jesus? The storm stopper? Because I've taken just about enough. I can't take any more of this. I'm not sleeping at night. I think my hair is starting to fall out. I'm breaking out in my skin. Ever been there? God, stop the storm. He says, take courage, I am. And then we're ready for those next words. Peace be still. And he says, be not afraid. Here's the thing, friends. We want Jesus to calm the storm, but Jesus came to calm us in the storm. Amen. Amen. His authority was there. His power was there. And he was planning to move. I don't care the storm that you're in right now. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how bad you're hurting. I do care how bad you're hurting. But it doesn't matter how bad you're hurting. It doesn't matter what you can see, and it doesn't matter what you can imagine. What matters is that our faith is locked in on God and that we believe he has not let us go. Because just because the storm is still raging does not mean God's not moving. Amen. Come on. You see, I'm really convinced I have to preach this message at this point in time because of the things that are going on in the world. Harvey hit Houston and they have way too much water, and yet there's fires in California and Oregon and Idaho, and they're burning and they don't have any water to put the fire out. Then there's three huge earthquakes in Mexico, 8.1, 7.1, and just another one. And then there's a guy in North Korea waiting to press a button on a hydrogen bomb. There's wars and rumors of wars. And then there's a racial divide that's happening, and there's racial tension in our very city trying to divide us from within, because a house divided cannot stand. The enemy is coming, trying to divide America. The birth pangs of Jesus coming back are getting closer and closer together, trying to turn brother against brother, sister against sister. Because we're all freaking out because the storm. Everybody say the storm. The storm is not the enemy, and God is not always going to stop the storm. Why? Why, God? Why won't you stop the storm? Because it's the only way he can get the attention of the people who are going to go to hell. Something has to cause them to cry out and say, what is happening, and how does this get fixed? And that's where you and I come in, my friends. You and I are Peter. We have to understand God can't stop the storm. God doesn't create the storm. Don't misunderstand me. The enemy creates the storm. But God doesn't stop the storm. He doesn't calm the storm. He calms us. Amen. So that he can use us to do the miracle, to be the miracle in the middle of the storm that gets the attention. Can somebody give him some praise this morning? I want you to touch two people and say, I'm willing to be the miracle. You know, it says in Isaiah 9:6, he says he's wonderful, counselor, mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Calm. He can bring calm wherever he goes. And we can have it too, Isaiah 26:3. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you.
Amen, amen.
Why do we have calm? Come on, somebody. Why do we have calm? We have calm because we trust in him. He is there. He never leaves. He never forsakes us. And he's going to use us in our calm the way he used Peter in his. You see, Peter goes and he sees Jesus coming. He's freaking out just like everybody else. But then he decides to trust, to have faith, to believe. When the whole group had that opportunity, he wasn't the only one who could have walked on water today, that day. I actually believe God wanted each and every one of those 12 guys to walk on the water that day. He wanted everybody out of the boat. Just leave the boat. Let's go. Boom. Walk home on the water in the storm. Can you imagine the story that would have been? But instead, just one guy. Just one. But, you know, look around. There's a lot of people around us. We each and every one of us have a choice whether we're going to be the guy, we're going to be the girl that decides to have faith, that decides to believe, that decides to step out. So Peter, he relies on God's authority. Everybody say authority.
Authority.
Here's the trick about faith, friends, is it works by authority. And how many of us do not like people to tell us what to do? Hey, say amen out loud. I wanted to make sure it wasn't just me. And to prove that, How many of y'all usually sit in the same section when you come to church? Raise your little nasty hand. How many of us sit in the same seat when we come to church? Yeah, yeah. How many of y'all come to church and somebody's sitting in your seat and you're all, why are these 9 o'clock people coming to the 10:40? What's up with this? We don't like change. We don't like change. We don't like people telling us what to do. David's like, hey, would you unload the dishwasher? I'm like, I'll unload the dishwasher when I'm good and ready. He gives me a look like, what? I'm like, I'm good and ready. We're cool if it's our idea. We're cool if, like, we kind of thought we wanted to anyway. But as soon as somebody comes along trying to change something that we kind of had set in our mind, we don't like change. The problem with that is Jesus came to change the world. He came to change society. He came to change your destiny. He came to change your life for the better. He came to take what was upside down and put it right side up. He wants to change it all for the better, but it's still change. And to be a part of the change, we have to submit to the authority.
Amen, amen.
Ugh, I hate that word. It's almost as fun as submission. That is a whole nother topic. We're talking about the... Never mind. You know, there's a guy at the West Palm Beach campus. His name is Jimmy. Jimmy Johnson, at Jimmy on TV. It's Jimmy on TV is his Instagram handle. And he wanted to evacuate with everybody else in the storm. That's what everybody was doing. But his job said he had to stay. So he stayed. Then his job told him, hey, Jimmy, you don't just have to stay in the storm. You're going to have to go outside in the hurricane, 100-mile-an-hour winds in the storm. How many of y'all know that's just not a great idea? But he's got to get out there in the storm to submit to the authority, to keep the job. But do you know when I said his name at the South Florida campus, everybody's like, Jimmy, Jimmy. You know why? Because he became known from the last hurricane for the guy who was in the storm. The very thing that we're not wanting to submit to, the very authority that we're trying to wiggle out of, God says, if you'll just rely on me, you can't rely on me without relying on my authority. Once you rely on my authority, we are in a much better place because we can operate in faith. Are you feeling this? So we rely on God's faith and his authority, but that's when we need to know what faith is. So people ask me all the time, what is faith? I'm so glad the Bible makes it clear. Hebrews 11:1 in your Bible. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith. That's a real great qualifier right there because faith is not last week. Faith is not yesterday. Faith is not tomorrow. And faith is not next month. When is faith?
Now.
In the moment. Faith isn't in 10 minutes. Faith is when?
Now,
faith is the substance, the meat, the handles, the what you can hold on to. When I married David, he was cute. Oh, I ought to bring a picture. He had abs. But he weighed 175 pounds, or 170 pounds, and I thought I was going to break him. I am not a small girl, right? I'm like, I need something to hold on to. So I had a plan. I started baking that Christmas. And by the time January comes, he weighed 190. This is the stuff you can tell when he's not sitting on the front row throwing you eye darts. But in January, I had something to hold on to. We like something to hold on to, don't we? Well, faith is what we're supposed to hold on to. The trouble is I wanted something physical to hold on to in my husband. I couldn't imagine him at 190 and feel like I could hold on to him. I wanted him actually at 190 to hold on to him. The girls have lost it. I'm not talking about chest of drawers disease. He doesn't have that. You know what that is? It's when your chest falls down to your drawers. Now he's got all this stuff in all the right places. He's fine. I think I'm missing him. Okay, sorry. What were we talking about? Handles. Substance. Faith is the handles of things hoped for. The evidence of things that we can't see. Well, wait a minute. So we're from the show me state. We want people to show us. But how do you show us if we can't see it? And how do you hold on to it if I can't touch it? That's why you need the whole thing. Now faith in this moment is the thing I can hold on to, but I have to hope for it. That's why we have to watch your hope. If you say, I have no hope, that's when I get nervous, because the hope is what comes as a precursor to your faith. Substance things hope for, the evidence of what we can't see. I can't see it. I can't taste it. I can't touch it. Sometimes I can't even imagine it, but we have to hold on to it, friends. We hold on to that faith when it looks like, everybody say looks like. When it looks like we have nothing to hold on to, faith is what we hold on to. Why? Hebrews 11:6. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. If we want to please him, if we want to make him happy, if we want to get him going, if we want to get him blessing us, if we want to get him using us, if we want to get him trusting us, if we want him to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing we cannot contain, if we want to walk in prosperity and health and healing and love and opportunity, if we want to walk in the favor of God, we have to be sure we're walking by faith and that we're relying on the authority that he has to direct us. Amen? So Peter goes to step out of the boat. And Peter does not just step out, because that's where we get a little crazy sometimes. Don't be crazy, Bonquiqui. Y'all know her? I love her. Welcome to King Burger, where you can have it your way, but don't get crazy. We want to step out sometimes all crazy. We don't ask God's permission, and we step out and start the business, and we step out and we get married. You know, God doesn't want you to wait for somebody else to pray to hear, you know, I just need you to pray and tell me whether or not I should marry him. Yeah. Baby, if you got to ask somebody whether or not to marry him, I'm telling you right now, just skip that mess. You need to know that you know that you know. But we step out on the boat without praying. We step out of the boat without permission. And if Peter had stepped out of the boat without Jesus telling him to come, what would have happened to Peter? He would have sunk. And that's what happens to us. When we sink, it's not a lack of God and it's not a lack of faith. A lot of times it's a lack of the fact that we asked permission to go in the first place. That's strong, right? It's real. It's the reason. People are like, God, where are you? He's like, I'm up here waiting for you to like to come this way because you went the wrong way. Romans 12:2. It says, be not conformed to this world. And I do conformed because it's like somebody pushing you and putting you in a position and stuffing you down. Be not conformed to this world. Not conformed to the way that they think. Not conformed to the things that they say are okay. Not conformed to when they freak out because a storm is coming. Not conformed to even though they said something sassy and it sounded cool, it doesn't make it right. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Why? I ask why a lot. Why? Why was it so important for Peter to ask God if he could step out of the boat? So that we can prove. You, my friend, are about to be the proof in a crazy world. You can prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Come on, somebody, praise Jesus. You can show people that the world can rage, but you can have the peace of God from the author of peace, from the prince of peace, from the one who gives peace, because you have faith for his peace, because you rely on his authority. It's the peace of God that rules in our heart. How? Because we're in the good, the acceptable, and the perfect, but they're not all the same. G, good, A, acceptable, P, perfect, the gap. The good will of God could have been Peter stayed in the boat. They didn't die. Jesus walked past and they lived through the hurricane and it was terrible all the way to the other side. The acceptable is that Peter steps out of the boat and he walks on water. And there is a miracle that happens through one. But my personal belief, and you know, I'm not in heaven yet, so I haven't asked God, but my personal belief is that the perfect would have been that all 12 stepped out of the boat and walked on the water that day. And what kind of craziness would it have been in their community? We can live in the goodwill of God and kind of ride out the storm and have these bumps and this craziness in our life. But God doesn't want you in the good. The acceptable is you alone are the miracle. And that's amazing because all things work together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus. Romans 8:28. Let me just pause and ask you, do you love Jesus? Did you love him yesterday? Do you love him a lot? Do you love him enough to get up on a Sunday morning and worship him? Are you going to love him tomorrow? Could you love him more? And are you trying to? So that's you. All things work together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus. All things. Even the storm. You're looking at the storm in your life and you're thinking, God, where are you? God is looking at the storm in your life and thinking, I'm about to do a miracle through you. All I need you to do is have faith in me and rely on my ability, regardless of the circumstance. Does somebody see what God's trying to do in our lives today? Whew. God wants to make a move in your life. God wants to change things in your life. God wants to use you as a miracle to show people in a crazy world what is his good, his perfect, his acceptable, his love, his forgiveness, his opportunity, his favor, his blessing. He wants to use you. Say, he's using me. He wants to use you to walk on the water. And just because you become a water walker doesn't mean you're going to end up being perfect. Even when Peter walked on the water, even though he was only one guy, he steps out of the boat. But he begins to sink because he has a couple of doubts. Don't freak out when you doubt. That kind of rhymes. Don't freak out when you doubt. I'm going to write a little song for children's ministry now. Don't freak out when you doubt. I know I'm a nerd. Just bear with me. My pants are cute. And my shoes are snapping. Just saying. They're cool. $50. Nordstrom Rack. Boom. Sorry. I get excited about shoes. Where were we? I don't even know. Don't freak out when you doubt. Don't freak out when you doubt. And that's as easy as it is right there. To get your attention lost, to lose where you were, to lose that place in faith that you are at. Don't freak out when you doubt. Doubt comes to everybody. That's where I am today. I am your Peter today, pointing you in the direction of Jesus. You are the Peter in your life. You are the Peter in your neighborhood. You are the Peter to those people around you, showing Jesus the calm in the storm. The storms are going to come. Some of them we're going to pray over and they will be still. Some of them are going to continue to come. But instead of doubting God, instead of asking him where he's at, let's change our question to that Peter question and say, I see, God, that the storm isn't stopping. So you must be ready to do a miracle in my life. Amen. And I want to pray for you right now. Hands raised, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you have a storm in your life right now, I want you to wave one of your hands at me. I don't care if you're on TV, if you're online, where you're at. I want you to wave your hand because it's not for me to see, it's for Jesus to see. Father God, I speak to each one of those waving hands right now, and I take the boldness and the courage. I am seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ, and so is each one under the sound of my voice. When we are Christ followers and we're children of the King, you've put us right there in the throne room with you. So right now, I just lean over and I ask my heavenly Father. I ask my good Father. I ask my Abba Father. I ask my Father who created me. I ask the author of time and the Prince of Peace. I ask my mighty God. I ask the King of Kings. I ask the Lord of Lords. I ask the one with whom all power is and his possibility. I ask you, Lord, to calm that storm. And God, if you have a bigger plan than that, we rely on, we trust confidently in you to move through us and to move for us. For all things, God, whether in the storm, in a tornado, in a hurricane, in a divorce, in hurt, in addiction, and in depression, all things work together for our good. We trust you. We reach our hands to you. We are thankful for you. God, I declare doors of opportunity are opened in moments that seem minuscule. Doors of opportunity are opening in places of hurt. Doors of opportunity, favor, and peace are flowing in like a river. In the name of Jesus, we decree and declare it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Was that all right for today? God bless you.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.